Thompson loads it up. Scores! Number 5 for Tage Thompson.
Grand slam! George Springer.
Tarasi, the pull-up. He's good! And the foul! Walker down the lane. Drive, shoots, scores! All right, Book. Yeah. How about your first punch of the year?
Oh! Woo-hoo!
All right, we've been waiting for it, partner.
Got the breeze off of that windmill.
That's right. We're catching the breeze all the way into episode number 21 of Huskies and the Pros podcast. Happy February to everybody. Thanks for being patient. I was off last week in terms of the podcast. Went down to Florida for the weekend. But we are back and ready to go here on this February 5th. Recording this on Sunday night, but debuting on Monday, February 5th. And starting with a book night jam. Good producers, you find good ways of getting good content in the show. And really, that's the highlight of book night, maybe of the season, the Windmill Jam. Eric Collins with a fantastic call. Eric Collins has become a little bit more viral this year with a couple calls when Cat went off for 70 or whatever against the Hornets. So did Eric Collins, the Hornets broadcaster. Myself and a few of my coworkers, we've known, as non-Hornet fans, we've known about Eric Collins for a few years now. And he delivers with things like that. But you can hear the thud from Book Knight's dunk there. That's on my Twitter page from a couple days ago. So if you want to see the video for that, but I just saw the call. The dunk sound effect was good enough to make it for the open. So that's how we're going to start today's show with the Book Knight's jam. And let's get rolling. Lots to get into this week's episode. WNBA free agency has begun, and we got some Huskies already on the move. Jordan Hawkins is going to the Rising Stars game. No surprise there. What is surprising is that Adama Sanogo is not a G League All-Star. We'll get into that for absolutely sure. Andre Jackson, he's got to reprove himself with Doc Rivers, and that might be really tough. I'll explain why. But we're going to start with Danny Hurley. And we're just starting to really see this NBA factory that's just being really – really being rebuilt between Storrs, Connecticut and the NBA yesterday. And I've kind of been thinking this for a little bit now, but it proved yesterday when I saw Jonathan Cavoni tweet out of a highlight package, highlights of Cam Spencer from his game against St. John's on Saturday. And Cavoni, he's the ESPN NBA draft expert analyst. So he's only going to tweet guys that will have any possibility of an NBA career. And that was the first that I saw him tweeting something like that. If you saw my tweet, you know what I'm talking about. But he basically just said he had a great game from behind the arc and wouldn't be surprised if a two-way deal happens. And then Sunday, so my day recording, Adam Zagora, same thing. He said, one scout, quote, Cam Spencer is another special UConn guard. I can see someone giving him a two-way. There's a very real possibility, folks, that the starting five for the UConn Huskies right now will all be in the NBA/G League in just a few months. Very well could have. Castle is playing like how we expect him to the last couple of games. He's trending towards lottery. Donovan Klingon, getting healthier by the game. Definitely first round. If they have another big tournament run, he could be lottery. Alex Caravan, I've been seeing him around late second rounds. I think he's still up in the air and what he might do. But obviously, Cam Spencer and Tristan Newton are going to be gone. Newton would have been a G League player if he had stayed in the drafts last year. And Cam Spencer is trending in that direction. I mean, just look in the most recent history. Tyrese Martin was really, I don't want to say nobody, but started his college career at Rhode Island and follows Hurley to UConn. He's a 53rd overall pick, a guy that just did not get a ton of, high looks before Hurley moving to UConn. Book Knight, obviously a lottery pick. Adama Sanogo didn't get drafted, but has been an insane two-way player for the Windy City Bulls, for the Bulls franchise. And I think his success is just these NBA scouts, these NBA front offices, they're going to start just paying attention to Hurley guys. They're like, okay, he played for Dan Hurley. They understand something that other players may not don't, or they have a mentality that other players don't. And that's all because of Hurley and the staff. Teams will just give these guys a shot because they played for Hurley. And it could just be 1 year. It could just be like Cam Spencer for 1 year. I mean, Joey Calcaterra is on a G League roster. And he doesn't play. Like he got cut and waived by the South Bay Lakers. And then 10 days later, he got picked back up. He hasn't played since. I don't think he's played an actual game since like December 2nd. That's like literally 2 months. So, well, he shot 40% from three at UConn, so he's going to land on a roster. And now, Cam Spencer is just the better version of Joey Calcaterra, right? I mean, Cam Spencer, he's a better all-around player, better passer, better defender, different kinds of shooters, but Spencer can also finish in transition, can score in the half court. Like, he can do more things than Joey Calcaterra. That's why Calcaterra was the 7th, 8th guy off the bench, and this is why Cam Spencer is starting. But NBA scouts are going to, you know, realize that too. Like, it's just, we're really starting to see this. And again, I think all 5 starters are going to be in the G League / NBA next season. And then, you know, we're saying who's next? Solo Ball, Jalen Stewart, Ahmad Noel coming in next year. Like, it's starting to turn over. NBA scouts, NBA front offices are just going to give these guys a shot because they play for Hurley. And as someone that runs an account like this, that's obviously a really exciting thing. But when I saw Cavoni's tweet about Cam Spencer, my eyes lit up and I was like, all right, I have to talk about this. I have to talk about this on the pod because teams are just going to throw out a roster spot. And by the way, if Cam Spencer does get a 2-way, or if Tristan Newton gets a 2-way, that's, as far to my knowledge, I believe that's the best kind of 2-way, or the best kind of G League contract you can get. It just gives you more options going back and forth between the G League and the NBA. So let's hope they get drafted, but if they don't, then certainly that. Also, just a note that the NBA draft is now a 2-day event. It's now, I think it's Wednesday, Thursday at the end of June, like the 26th, 27th or 27th, 28th, whatever it is. I guess it's just for another day of TV. I know us Husky fans will be dialed in on day 2, because who knows? Like, maybe Newton does get picked. If Caravan declares, maybe he gets picked on day 2 during round 2. Who knows? But we'll be locked in. But again, don't be discouraged if, and this is for a talk later, but if they don't get selected right after, I mean minutes after the draft was over last year, Sonogo signed a 2-way deal with the Bulls. And look what he's been doing. We'll talk about him right now. Let's actually just go right to him. As Sonogo, he's been bouncing back and forth between the Windy City and Chicago. And I'm going to be saying Windy City, and that's going to mark the G League for this segment. Windy City means G League. Chicago means NBA team because they're both the Bulls. So just to clarify. But this past week, Chicago, they're starting power forward Patrick Williams. He was marked out a few weeks for a foot injury. Zach LaVine, he's out for the rest of the season with a foot injury. So they have a couple major injuries to the starting line. Those are 2 starters. And we've seen this past week that Sonogo has been bouncing back and forth between Windy City and Chicago. Basically, when Windy City is off, he is with the Chicago Bulls. And when the Chicago Bulls are off, he is with the Windy City Bulls. He did not play in either 2 games that he was up with Chicago, unfortunately. So he's still obviously low on the depth chart there, but it's obviously great that he's on the bench, that he's being considered for that. We've seen him play in a couple NBA games. Of course, he had the 8 points back in, that was December or late December or early January, one or the other. And in the 1 G League game that he did play in this past week, it was on Friday. He had 20 points and 15 rebounds in 29 minutes. So he's still doing his thing. And despite having all this kind of success in the G League, Adama Sonogo was somehow not named a G League All-Star. Not sure how that was possible. 28 players were selected. It's an absolute cry. It's so inconceivably dumb that Sonogo was not named a G League All-Star. You look at his G League ranks. 9th in points per game at 23.3, tied for first in rebounds per game, 12.4. Eighth in field goal percentage, 64%. He has 18 double-doubles, and he has scored in double figures in all 26 G League games that he has played in. Those are really, really good numbers. And to do some quick math here, 18 out of 26 games, he has a double-double in 69% of the games that he plays in. I mean, it's bonkers that he is not in the G League All-Star game. Would have been great recognition for him. I honestly feel terribly sorry for him that he didn't get it. I know I voted for him. I believe this was all a fan vote. I don't get it. I mean, this is the first time that I can say I've followed or known about the G League All-Star selection. I'm not going to lie. Like, I'm not going to say I know how this goes because this is my first experience with it. But there's no way that he's not a top 28 player in the G League. The numbers speak for themselves. Ninth in points, tied for first in rebounds, eighth in field goal percentage, 18 double-doubles, a couple 30-point games. Just bonkers. But hopefully, you know, not so much if you're a Bulls fan, but with these injuries, he will get a chance with the Chicago Bulls. And who knows? The trade deadline is coming up this week. Maybe Andre Drummond will get moved, and that obviously would help Sanogo's case of playing. Drummond is certainly the biggest name to keep an eye out for in terms of trades for UConn this week. The trade deadline is going to be on Thursday, but we'll see what happens. I'll be here to react to it on Twitter and then on the following podcast. Maybe Book Knight gets thrown in a massive trade or blockbuster trade. I'm like, the Terry Rozier trade was just, I think, terrible for the Hornets. I think they didn't get much in return. But yeah, let's hope Drummond gets traded to a team like the Warriors, to a contender. I know the Warriors aren't necessarily contending as they usually are, but they do lack size, so that could be an area where they could improve. Or he just goes to a team that just gives him more, better quality minutes. I don't get it. When the Bulls had all these injuries a couple months ago, as we all know, he balled out. He averaged like 19 and 15 in like the 6-7 games he started. Just crazy that he's not getting more minutes as well. A player that did get recognized, and this was no surprise, Jordan Hawkins. He was named to the Rising Stars game, one of 11 rookies to make the roster. He currently leads all rookies with 92 three-pointers, and I think he's the first UConn Husky to get this honor to play in the Rising Stars game since Andre Drummond. And then I'm sure Kemba probably got that as well. So it's been some time since we've had a Husky in this game. And to no surprise to us, really, obviously, that it's Jordan Hawkins. I will say this, though. He hasn't been shooting all that well recently. Last four games, 4 for 22 from the field and 3 of 16 from three. That's 18%. But he can turn around tonight. He can turn around tonight against the Toronto Raptors at 8 p.m. The Pelicans have – got my birds mixed up. The Pelicans have a few nationally televised games this week. On Wednesday, 10 o'clock tip at the Clippers. That's not going to be on ESPN. And then Friday at the Lakers, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time tip. That'll be on NBA TV. So, again, Hawk – and shooters go through slumps, and he's logged just a lot of minutes in 2023-2024. I can honestly say this is really the first time all season that I've noticed and seen that he has had a stretch where he's kind of been this bad shooting-wise. But his minutes have gone up. I've said this in previous pods. I've shared this on Twitter. Head coach Willie Green is taking notice and his value to the team, obviously being able to shoot the three so well. So we're past the point of like, will Willie Green play? You know, he's playing him, he's getting 15 to 20 minutes. And I think he hasn't played more because he hasn't been shooting that well. It's one of those things where if a player with his shooting capability, if he's shooting that well, shooting that hot, they're going to keep him in. But right now he just isn't shooting well. But again, he has a chance this week to turn that around tonight, Monday night. The Pelicans are hosting the Raptors at 8 p.m., so he has a chance to get on track there before a couple of nationally televised games. Andre Jackson needs to just reprove himself. This has just been really kind of a worst nightmare for him and for Husky fans with Doc Rivers being named the new head coach for the Bucks like 10 days ago now. In the four games as Doc is the head coach, Andre has two DMPs and three games that Doc's been head coach. Andre has two DMPs, and he was marked out for Saturday's game with a wrist injury. Game four is currently going on now. It's halftime, and he has not entered the game. So the reason why there's concern about this is because Doc Rivers just doesn't really play rookies. I went back and looked at the numbers when he was head coach for the Clippers and the 76ers. He played 10 rookies, and they averaged 8.8 minutes per game. And the only two players that really stood out were Tyrese Maxey and Terrence Mann. Now, the Clippers and 76ers, for most of those years, like, they're not lottery picks. They're not top five picks. They're end of the first or maybe just seconds. So, you know, the chance of playing lottery type, you know, guys. But, of course, Andre, he's a second rounder here. So it's frustrating because he was just – it seems like he got over a bit of a hump through January. He was playing 15 or 17 minutes a game in the month of January under former head coach Adrian Griffin. And even when the interim head coach was in there, he wasn't getting that too many minutes. The last game he actually played in was against Hawkins. So we're very lucky that we got that. That was very cool. Talks about the NBA factory that Hurley's developing. That was really cool, really special to see Hawk and Andre go at it. They exchanged jerseys after the game. Really, really special moment. We're going to have a lot of those photos in the next coming years for sure. Just not great. And Doc has admitted, he said, yeah, we're going to need one or two young players to get going that are going to need to play for him. However, I think at least one of those young guys could be A.J. Green, rookie out of Northern Iowa. He's a three-point shooter. And you know, again, this is halftime at the time of recording, but A.J. Green, 11 minutes in the first half, 3 for 4 from three and 10 points, three rebounds. If that's, you know, the one, he said one or two. So it's if what he's talking about is A.J. Green, he's talking about Marjon Beauchamp, and he's talking about Andre. I don't know. And if he does play this point, it's just going to be garbage time minutes at this point. So I'm not really sure, you know, what kind of opportunities moving forward. If he goes to the G League, I can't say I'd be all that surprised either, just so he can play. But it definitely not the best situation, the current situation for Andre Jackson, now that Doc Rivers is the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks. Shifting gears to the WNBA, as the free agency there is underway, as May is just around the corner. That's when I'm getting married, and that's also when the WNBA season will begin for the 2024 season. But so just some news, some notes around that. Mariah Jefferson traded to the Connecticut Sun. So we have two UConn players on the CT Sun as she joins Olivia Nelson Adota as the Husky representation in Connecticut, if you will. But this happened a couple of days ago. The Sun acquired Jefferson and signed and trade deal with the Phoenix Mercury. The Sun sent over Rebecca Allen to the Phoenix Mercury. Jefferson deal keeps her in CT through the 2025 season. So hopefully we'll have two full healthy seasons of Mariah in CT. And she averaged 10.5 points, 3.6 assists last season for, let's be honest, the not-so-great Mercury, despite Diane Taurasi also being there. But this seems like a good fit. I mean, not only obviously being in Connecticut, but the Sun, they need guards. They traded away Natasha Hederman. Tiffany Hayes, of course, retired. And the front court is really Jefferson, Tiffany Mitchell, who the Sun also traded for, and Rachel Bohannon, who's really just a three-point specialist. So Jefferson, again, it's still early in free agency. There's still the drafts. But as of right now, Jefferson has a great opportunity to be the starting point guard and to play a lot of minutes. So hopefully she gets that kind of opportunity. There's a clip out there on Twitter where Gino was pleasantly surprised. He was being interviewed the day that it happened, Saturday. He was pleasantly surprised that Mariah was coming back to CT, and also noted he's like, he just wants to see a healthy Mariah. She's obviously dealt with injuries in the last couple of years. Hasn't been that rookie She hasn't been the same since her rookie year, where she averaged just over 13 points a game. But the last 2 years, averaging 10 points. So hopefully she can have an even better season with the CT Sun. Tina Charles, this was a bit of a shocker, but a pleasant surprise for Husky fans and for Atlanta Dream fans, as Tina Charles, the former MVP, is back in the WNBA. She missed all of last season, but she signed with the Atlanta Dream. And in that 2022 season, she averaged just below 15 points a game, 7.3 rebounds. But it's a weird 2022 for her. She basically kind of, I don't want to say she quit, but she just skipped multiple games with the Phoenix Mercury. She basically just got herself out of that situation in Phoenix and then signed with the Seattle Storm. So she was with Cabby Williams. She was with Sue Bird and Breonna Stewart, and just made a super team even more super. They couldn't beat the Las Vegas Aces. But she took last year off, didn't play in the WNBA all last season, but she signed with the Dream a few days ago. And this could be a good opportunity for, obviously, she's 35 years old, to be a veteran presence on a younger team. This Atlanta Dream franchise made a big step this past year by making the playoffs for the first time since 2018. So she certainly has a chance to provide that veteran leadership, whether it's coming off the bench, whether it's starting. Hopefully she's open to whatever role that is, and make a positive impact for this young, exciting Atlanta Dream team moving forward. Kaylou Samuelson, she signed with the Indiana Fever after missing all of last season because she was on paternity leave. But the year before that, in 2022, she shot a career high 35.2% from three in her lone season with the LA Sparks. I thought the LA Sparks was a really good fit for her, but that roster is completely different than what it was in 2022, to be fair. But this Fever team seems like it's a good fit for her. The Indiana, they made the third fewest three-pointers last season. Katie Lou can certainly knock it down from behind the arc. So it just seems like a happy marriage between Katie Lou and the Fever with needing that three-point help. And hopefully that's how it works out. And Kia Stokes, she is back with the Las Vegas Aces. The back-to-back WNBA champion has returned to Las Vegas. She has started every single postseason game for Vegas over the last two seasons. And I mentioned this on previous podcasts because the Aces are obviously playing deep into June, and she doesn't wow you with necessarily stats on paper, but her defensive presence, her veteran leadership, just seems to be a glue player, a glue teammate for the Aces. And it's just valuable experience when you can have someone that's been part of this little dynasty that the Aces are building up here. And she's playing all 18 postseason games, started all 18 postseason games for that team. So really no surprise there that she is back with Las Vegas. And we wrap up the show. Team USA, the women's basketball team, they announced their roster here on Sunday, and three Huskies were named to the team: Diana Taurasi, Breonna Stewart, and Nafisa Collier. They're all returning to Team USA. Of course, DT, she's won 5 gold medals, so she's going for number 6. Stewie going for gold medal number 3. And Fee is going for gold medal number 2. So the United States of Connecticut is back on. Having 3 members on the team always makes it a little bit more fun to, I mean, I guess just routine now, but to watch UConn Huskies in a USA jersey playing for gold. Obviously no Sue Bird for the first time in many, many, many years here. And no Tina Charles as well, but very excited to have DT, Stewie, and Collier on the roster, as we'll be rooting for them over the summer during the Summer Olympics. That's going to do it for this episode. It was really good to be back after missing last week. Lot to cover. Maybe there'll be some NBA trade deadline things to recap next week. Hopefully there is. Hopefully Drummond gets traded somewhere, and that just gives more opportunity for Sonogo to play with the Bulls. And maybe hopefully the Bulls keep losing, so then they just kind of call up some of their G League players more. Like, hopefully that's the case. Well, obviously we'll see. Still a long way to go. But thank you for listening to this week's podcast, and have a great week, folks. Go Huskies.